Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. Episode 289. Wow. We are closing in on the 300th episode, and what a huge, huge, legendary, iconic performer I've got for number 300. But today, talk about iconic and legendary. Right here on Friday, we've got the four horsewomen minus one of the MMA world. They're here. Marina Shafir, Shayna Baszler, and Jessamyn Duke. They are all in the house today. Even though the missing fourth, Ronda Rousey, isn't with them, she is talked about. She's represented. She's in this podcast in spirit and stories. Hopefully in person next time. The original Four Horsewoman, not to be confused with the NXT Four Horsewoman. This is the MMA UFC Four Horsewoman, and what a story they have to tell. They are wrestling fans as well. Marina, Shayna, and Jessamyn are all big wrestling fans. They've even missed training sessions to watch Raw. They've been spotted at PWG shows in Los Angeles. They'll tell you why they love them so much. You'll also hear how they got started in the MMA, what it's like for female fighters, and how Ronda Rousey changed the game, not only for women, but for MMA in general. They've got training tips, favorite fights, how they got their name, the Four Horsewomen, stories from the reality show they filmed together, The Ultimate Fighter. They've also had some crazy fan interactions that they'll tell us about. So, one, two, three of the Four Horsewomen of MMA are here.
Yeah, so you promised me some Johnny Walker, because it's funny. Was it Johnny Walker you promised me, or was
it?
Because you just wrote like something like Johnny Black or something.
Johnny Black, yes.
So I actually Googled Johnny Black to make sure, because I thought it was some kind of alcohol, but I wasn't sure that Johnny Walker was actually with Johnny Black. And then I figured out, Black Label.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
See, but alas, it's too early in the day for any of us to be drinking. So we do have thimblefuls full of water.
We're responsible, though.
Yes, we are. That's right. And you shouldn't be drinking and driving during the day. And if you do, use Uber, which is a fine sponsor of my show. So I'm here with three out of the four. I'm going to say it's the Four Horsewomen minus one.
Yes.
Sounds about right.
We got the coolest ones, Jessamyn and Shayna and Marina. And Marina, you almost didn't come.
I didn't.
But then you decided you couldn't miss out on this awesome repartee.
I just hustled my little tush off early this morning.
And here you are.
And here
Marina
I am.
Marina can never pass up an opportunity to berate me on a large forum.
It's very hard for me.
We said it wasn't going to be the same without her to like kind of...
Are you the shit disturber of the gang?
I would like to call it mediator. I think like that pretty much explains my, you know, my place.
She doesn't take Shayna's crap.
Definitely.
It's basically what that
does. Can we swear on this show or no?
You can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? I tell you.
She's like,
I have to know that before I get too deep into this water.
Yeah, to the Johnny W, since we don't have the Johnny B. W standing for water. Yeah. So the thing is, I saw you guys. I always see you guys like backstage at Staples Center WWE shows, and maybe Anaheim once or twice, but all the time at the Staples Center. But I never got a chance to like say hi because everyone's always doing this, and I'm walking around here, and I kind of always see you guys at a distance. And the last time we were in the Staples, you were with Natalia, and I was like, it's my chance. And we got a chat. I finally got to meet the three of the four horsewomen.
Three quarters.
But you guys are always at the shows.
Yeah, we love it. I mean, it's like we're fans too. So,
yeah.
But like, we have Shayna to thank for that, and that really is the truth. All of us, all of the Four Horsemen, none of us were fans of wrestling until Shayna came along.
Really?
So that was like a couple, what, 2-3 years ago? It started when we, it was like the reality shows when it started when we were on The Ultimate Fighter, because for Shayna and I, we were, you're bored in the house, you have no entertainment, you have no music, no books, no videos, you can't even sing, you know.
You can't even sing.
Right, and so they would like talk about it all the time. There was another guy in the house that they would stay up all night talking pro wrestling. So I start hearing it, right? And then after the show, when we all moved to California, we're all living together. Every Monday, Shayna's pulling up Raw in the living room. She's like, I don't care. Everyone's watching it or not.
If you weren't watching it, it was like the background noise.
Yep.
It's there.
It was consistent. And then we all slowly got like dragged into it, to all the storylines. And like it for different reasons.
Yeah.
Like,
if you see it enough, and like you said, if it's playing in the background enough, sooner or later,
she was
you're
persistent.
Check something out. Like, oh, what's that outfit? Or what's that music playing? Or whatever it may be, right?
Yeah. Who is that? Like,
right. You know. So you said you like wrestling for different reasons.
Yeah.
What reason do you enjoy it?
The drama.
Do you like the drama?
She loves
the drama.
I love the drama.
Right?
The drama is what
it
she
is
loves.
Hilarious to me.
Okay, and what do you like, Shayna?
I like, because I am a catch wrestler, which is basically shoot-style pro wrestling. So it comes from, like, all the way back. Like, Gotch and those guys. Billy Robinson, I trained with him.
You did?
Yeah.
No
so
kidding.
That whole lineage and the shared history it has with MMA is what interests me about pro wrestling. Now, when I was a kid, I just, like, because I was like, it's wrestling.
So you kind of like, because actually in Germany, they call it catch.
Yes.
When I wrestle in Germany, it's the Catch Wrestling Association.
Yeah.
Which would be, like you said, exchanging all the holds and more the scientific style of wrestling. Did you train with Harry Smith as well?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
before.
I have too.
You have as well?
Yeah, he comes to CSW, which is where we train.
Okay.
He's come there before and worked with us. And so a few people, Nadiez, like we have a lot of people that come in there and train, and like sometimes they're doing what we're doing, or, you know, we're wanting to do what they're doing. So it's like a trading of.
Is that what you like about wrestling too, Jessica?
I really actually like the training as well. That's my favorite part. I've told her, like, I will let her practice any move she wants. Like,
this is my dummy.
Yeah, like, she learned
like,
how to
all right,
do a power bomb.
Wrestling on Friday. Let's do some stuff.
Yeah, with me. I'm like, I'll do it. I think it's fun. I like the training. I like learning it. It's like something new to focus on. And, but as far as the shows, I think it's like, for a performance, it's one of my favorite things to actually watch. It's the most fun I've ever had at any live event of any sort, whether it's music or whatever, like any live event, the most fun I ever have is at a wrestling show. Like, I just like what they do.
Like the energy of it or the atmosphere?
There's enough similarities, I think, between fighting and pro wrestling that like, it is like a theatrical version of what we do. So like, it's easy for me to associate stuff or like, get sucked into certain storylines, especially if they're doing it well, because it all makes sense to me, like it should, you know. So I enjoy the performance part of it too.
Do you guys ever use, like, I mean, there's not a lot of guys, I would think like a Daniel Bryan or Harry Smith or even Natty knows some of those shoot holds, which used to be such a big part of the business, but as the years go on, you kind of forget. Like, I never knew any shoot holds, even though I trained with the Harts. Just never could do that. It was more of like the wrestling stuff. But are there some wrestlers that you watch that go, they might be good MMA fighters?
Athletically, it's easy to think about that. It's just, it takes so much time to learn to learn how to fight is a complete, I think it's easier to be a fighter in crossover than to be a pro wrestler in crossover. That is, if you want to go to the height of where you want to go. Anyone can do anything they want, but the time that you have to put in to either and what it does to your body, it's hard to say. Certain styles, obviously, are going to be a little more favorable, but...
I think Daniel Bryan fought at an amateur fight.
Did he?
I know he trained.
He definitely trained that style.
I know he trained.
Still
I feel like he had an amateur fight. I could be wrong, but he definitely trained.
Maybe not an official one, but I know like Harry trained that way, like we mentioned, and Brian and those type of guys, because they really focused on that sort of, almost Japanese style.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of that, you know, amateur catch style of wrestling that there is, you know. How long, you said you guys, did you all meet on Tough?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say Tough Enough, it's not it, Tough.
The Ultimate Fighter.
Ultimate Fighter,
Tough.
Sorry.
TUF, Tough.
Oh, yeah, the Ultimate Fighter, Tough.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a Tough Enough
somewhere.
So all three of you guys were on the same show, and Rhonda too?
I was an assistant coach.
All four of us were on the show, but I knew
I was main eventing events. This one was
get to take a cigarette.
You know,
main eventing, brother.
Yeah, she was on the undercard at some of the shows.
I knew Shayna from before, just being on the fight scene because she's making a joke, but it really is true. When I made my my pro debut for a show called Invicta, she was the main event.
Okay,
and so and at the time, especially, I was like a huge fan because. Like, women's MMA is a small community there for a while. So everybody knew everybody. Everybody knew who all the big names were. So it was a big deal to be like, oh, my God, I'm on the same card as Shayna Baszler. So now she never lets me, live it down. There's a photo out there of me, I'd fought earlier in the night, won my fight, had my pro debut. It was epic. Had this epic fight, right? And then there's a picture of me later when she's walking out, high-fiving her on the way out. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was me.
But, just marking out
yep,
as I'm on my way.
Yep.
How did you fit in, Rena?
Well, I was their coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were even higher level than they were.
Well, for the show, yes. But, experience-wise, I'm the baby of the group.
Okay.
I was there.
Except for in judo.
But, we're talking, with wrestling and fighting, I'm just the baby of the group. Just fit in well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else.
Just kind of had chemistry.
Yeah, when they moved in to our house, to the house in Venice, we just fit.
Kicked off.
Yeah. And then we started relating over these characters in pro wrestling. That was kind of our natural progression. And the more wrestling that we would watch, the more we would be like, oh, Raina, do you think you'd be The Undertaker, or
Undertaker.
Who do you like? Well, who, what kind of wrestler do you like? And then that's kind of.
So, who was your favorite? Who is your favorite
at the time? The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Yeah.
How about you, Shayna?
My all-time favorite.
Yeah, or yeah.
Or my current favorite.
Well, you can do both.
Oh, and my current favorite is Dean Ambrose.
Okay, nice.
I think my favorites of all time are Shawn Michaels and Dean Malenko.
Oh, wow. See, Dean was another guy who definitely worked that very tight. I think he trained with Gotch even for a while.
Yeah, Dean and Joe were both awesome.
Yeah.
And then currently, I really it's so hard now because there's all these new guys coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of AJ, but I can't even say that because I know him, so it feels like it's not fair. But
biased.
Yeah. I think he's injured right now, but Bray Wyatt... I really love how he wrestles, and I wish
character.
That, yeah, it's awesome.
I still remember, did you meet him backstage at one of the shows?
Yeah.
I remember you guys were freaking out. I walked by hey, we just had Bray Wyatt. I'm here too. How about you, Jess?
I think, for me, the wrestling, the storyline that got me into it, back when Shayna was sucking us all in via Raw,
mm-hmm.
was involved Daniel Bryan, and it was because she had said watch this guy. She told me he trains, watch mm-hmm. the way he wrestles, watch what he does, and he got involved in this storyline that I got completely wrapped up in, and it was the one with Bray Wyatt where he was absorbed into the cult, and for weeks and weeks he was in the cult, and
mm-hmm.
And I was just I'm I want him to come back. Why? I want him to go back.
Don't do it.
Yeah, and so I'm totally invested in it. And then the moment when he turned and took off the jumpsuit and had his wrestling gear on, I lost my mind. And I'm I love this. I love this stuff. I love it.
You're so into
I think we missed grappling that night because it went over.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
oh, so you missed your own training?
We would leave on the dot. When it got over to go get late night grappling in, and we missed it because it was she was
that
so
was happening.
Up in it
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Talk is Jericho.
Well, how did you guys, you mentioned earlier, Jess, when you said that the female MMA, it's now becoming a thing. But it took for it was very underground for the longest period of time, up until maybe but 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. Right?
So how did you guys start getting into fighting as, you know, three pretty girls decide you want to beat the shit out of other girls? It seems like an interesting way to go, especially when it wasn't such a thing back 5, 6, 7. I don't know how long you've been doing it for, 10 years, whatever it may be.
It's more true that for Shayna than me or Marina, but it really is that way for everyone. Mm. Like, that's true, though. You know, like,
how do you mean?
She was, when she first started, like, I mean, I'm sure she'll take over here, but, like, it was not something you did to, like, if you were like, oh, I want to be successful and make a lot of money. Mm. Like, if you were, this was not what you chose to do. Like, no one was doing it. It wasn't popular. It was like a sideshow freak show almost, to have female fights on a card. Like, it was just really hard to go anywhere with it or be taken seriously. And it was, like, still the end of that when I first started fighting a little bit. Like, I experienced some of it, but things were really changing then. And then it wasn't, you know, a few years later, then Rhonda happened. Right. Which really was a huge catalyst.
That was the huge kind of
that was the biggest one,
right?
Yes, it was
because
the biggest
if you're talking about even 20 years ago, guys fighting was almost a sideshow, like you mentioned. I remember there's so many outlawed and barbaric and all that sort of thing.
Then it's
the
just
guys
a few years behind.
Got through, and then the same with women shouldn't be doing this, yeah. It's barbaric, and then now you guys are all doing it as well. You know? So were you kind of one of the pioneers of this, Shayna?
Yeah, I've been fighting for like 16 years.
Wow, okay.
But that's kind of where I started fighting, was even when MMA itself was not even thought of as a legitimate sport.
Not even sanctioned or whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, I was fighting in, like, I had fights. It blows my mind now, actually, thinking in retrospect, but I had a fight in the middle of a cornfield, like, literally in the middle of a cornfield, because I grew up in the Midwest, in South Dakota.
South Dakota?
Yeah.
I'm from Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah.
Just up the road.
So... But, like, everybody had parked their cars in a circle around the ring.
Whoa.
And turned their headlights on, so when it got dark, like, we still fought. And it was, like, we had a guy that was wearing a ref shirt, but this wasn't, now we have to get blood work and MRIs and all this stuff every time we fight. Yeah, and, you know, we were just, like, this guy had some whiskey and takes his belt buckle off and climbs in there, and you know, and if there happened to be another girl there, I would jump in there. But
so would you guys be fighting, like, would everyone throw in $20 and the winner takes all, or
it was for free?
Okay.
A lot of times, because I was insane. Fighting other girls, it was really weird that more than one occasion I had where it was like there was another girl there, and okay, we're gonna fight later tonight, and then she would get scared and then back out, and then the promoter would get in
the
there.
The guy who drove the cars up to the ring,
would get in and be like, who wants to see a chick fight? Everybody throw money in the ring, and the winner gets this. So, you know, people start throwing, like, 10s and 20s in there.
right.
And that was more than once for me, but no, for the most part, it was free. It was, like, so dumb, you know? You'd get hurt, and I guess it's kind of like pro wrestling in that the less trained you are, the more likely you are to get seriously hurt, you know? So just everybody was it was just like brawlers back then. And I had trained...
just like underground fight club almost.
And I trained in
wrestling tough man, and basically
wrestling and submissions. And nobody knew what submissions. So this was like back in the day where you're putting someone to sleep with a rear naked choke and the crowd is booing and they're like, get up and fight for real. And like nobody knew what submissions were. And I felt like I was enlightened. Like, I was like, oh, I will teach everyone what the real technique is and, like, do these cool submissions and stuff. But
Miss Miyagi.
Yeah.
But that's what you're saying. Like, a fight was, at that point in your head, was like, you must be punching each other and kneeing each other, whereas a submission chokehold wasn't even considered to be anything.
Right, exactly.
You know, funny story, I worked in Mexico at the beginning of my career, and in 93 we used to do... like 4 or 5 shows in a day on Saturdays because it was so popular. And I remember the one day I had a show like in a flea market, and then I had a show in an arcade, and then I had a show in an arena, and then the last show was in a parking lot at about 11 o'clock at night with the 4 cars around the ring.
Yeah.
And they drove them up on struts because the lights turned on would be at the bottom of the ring, so they drove them up like a little ramp so that when you turn the lights on, it would actually shine in the ring, and that was our light show. For the match. So you're not the only one who's wrestled or worked in a headlight situation. How about you, Marina? How did you start it out?
I started judo when I was 6. Mm-hmm. So I've like been in combatives like since a really young age. My dad was, he was like in the special forces in the army, like in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And he he raised me doing like sambo and judo and powerlifting and, you know, self-defense and all this stuff. So I've just been around it for so long. But my transition to fighting was just because it was just something that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
where are you from?
Upstate New York.
And where are you from, Jess?
Kentucky,
okay.
Yeah, so I was competing in judo since I was like 13. And no, even younger than that. I started 10, like doing like these local tournaments. But when I turned 13, I started doing more like international, national level competitions. And I hated judo because it was turning into like bubble wrap bullshit. And a lot of the rules were changing, and it took a lot of flavor and spice out of judo. It was like more Japanese style and proper. And like, also, there's no funding at all in judo. My mom was a seamstress, my dad was a mechanic, and traveling fees.
Just to get to the fights,
yeah,
the shows,
just, yeah, just to even get to the competitions and training camps and stuff. It was really hard for them, you know, and I have two older brothers. So I ended up quitting, and I ended up just going to this jiu-jitsu gym, and it just naturally evolved. Like, more I was doing boxing and Muay Thai and kickboxing, and then my coach was like, maybe you should take a fight, and I said, okay, and I did, and
so
it.
When you say take a fight, like, for example, so when you took a fight, it was in the cornfield, whatever it may be, and then now fights are, you know, huge.
Yeah.
UFC and Invictus, and they're in arenas. What kind of a fight did you take?
Well, this is the funny thing is when I took an amateur fight that was held in Boston, and the promoter was, Ronda was just, like, getting really, you know, up in the scene, and my decision to fight was very separate from her life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she was living in California, and I'm living in upstate New York, and everybody thinks that I just kind of started fighting, like, under her wing, and it had nothing to do with that. Like, I was very...
You were doing your own thing.
Yeah, I was very much doing my own thing, and, like, this fight happened on its own for me, and the promoter was... I don't know. People just do a lot of internet stalking, and the promoter associated the two of us, like, mm-hmm. found pictures of us on the internet, and she was just starting to get up there, and, like, immediately the promoter was like, we're going to make you main, you know, event and all this stuff. And I'm like, why? Like, that's not fair. Like, that's not fair to the people that are fighting for a championship. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but she just wanted to take good care of me, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But
sure.
It was like on a completely like different, you know, she started fighting in a certain era. She started fighting in a certain era, and then I started fighting in a certain era.
So it was like three separate eras? Like,
yeah,
you'd be
I would
in the middle,
so.
Jess? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then what was your first fight?
So I didn't even start training until I was 19. Like, I was out of
is
high school.
Is that late for
a
fighter? Okay.
It definitely is. Like, even though, you know, Marina's been doing judo since she was six, and Shayna has been wrestling, like, actual wrestling. How old were you when you started doing that? Like, super duper young, right?
Yeah, my dad and my uncle coached wrestling, so I was just on a wrestling mat.
And I had done no combat sports, no wrestling, no fighting, nothing like that. No one in my family does it, and it wasn't even a thing that I like thought was a possibility at all. And then I graduated high school and was going to college, and I was living with my mom still, and she started getting on my case really bad because all I was doing was, like, going to class and then coming home and playing video games. And I'd always been athletic. Like, I'd always played sports, and I always liked doing things like that. But she was like, you need to go find something to do and make some friends and get out of the house. And I'm like, I'm doing great. I'm getting straight A's. Like, I'm doing awesome. Like,
yeah, leave
like,
me alone.
Right. And I'm just a nerd, though. But so she was like, get out of the house. And I Googled things to do, like, in Richmond, in the area.
And, things to do.
And found, yeah, it was really just that simple. Like, I was just looking for something different. And I was like, that's great because that's something I haven't done before. It'll be fun. I tend to get really bored with, like, mm-hmm. new hobbies and stuff. Like, I burn out really quick. And started training in just kickboxing. And, like, it wasn't maybe a month, and I was taking every class they had, every grappling class, like every striking class, anything, any conditioning class, anything I could do. I was like in the gym, just obsessed with it. And I had no desire to compete, no desire to fight. I just wanted to train and learn and
just learn the craft.
And
right?
get, yeah. Yes, I just loved it. And had never found anything like that in my life, like, that I was just so, I could get so obsessive over and always have more stuff to work on, and just loved it. And eventually, I don't know, I'm trying to think how long it was. I went to grappling tournaments early on, like just like a jiu-jitsu tournament, and competed maybe just a few months in.
But I didn't take an MMA fight until I'd been training for 4 years.
Wow.
And that's partially because it didn't, it like,
was nowhere to go.
There was nowhere to fight. And if they did have MMA fights somewhere, they for sure didn't have a female. And if they did have a female, she probably wasn't my size. Mm-hmm. So
man,
there was
I
like,
think I was fighting for 4 years before I started training.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds, that's, she's like the reverse of that. But what's funny is like, I still, that kind of stuff was still going on. I remember like one of the very first MMA events I ever went to, my one of my first exposures to an MMA event was, it was an outdoor event, but the crowd was, we stood in a barn, like that's where the seating was, because the ring was in, you know, out in the middle, and it was raining. And so it was a vinyl, it was a vinyl canvas. It was like a slip and slide, and like, and then it was getting muddy, and I'm like, what am I watching right now? Like, they're just fighting in mud, basically, and like, it's outside and it's raining, and I was like, this is insane. Who would want to do this?
Might as well be wrestling.
It was like, what? This isn't. It really was. I thought it was crazy. And so I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to train. And it really was just kind of like a slow, natural progression of like grappling tournaments and then amateur kickboxing fights. That was like first ring experience. Was I drove to Arkansas to fight another girl from Kentucky. I know it's really dumb, right? You pay out, and same as them. Like I did it a different path, but I still did the thing where I'm basically paying out of pocket to go
to do
and compete.
Shows, sure. Yeah.
You drive, you know, 12 hours to go to a grappling tournament somewhere in, you know, Oklahoma or something like that. Like, just
pay your own gas and your own way.
Gas, and then it's $120 to enter, and you get one match, you know, like, because there was only one other girl that showed up. So it was a lot of years of that, and then I was so, like, fired up for competition that when it finally happened, like, when MMA finally, it did have, like, this little burst for women, especially because the very first MMA fight I had was it was one of the first all-female shows in Kentucky, and it was, like, a big deal. It was, like, I think it was in October. It was, like, a breast cancer thing, like, raising money for some sort of charity or whatever, so it was a big deal, but it was an all-female event, and they made a really big deal out of it. And so it was just starting to kind of happen, and then I fought on that and did really well, and then right after got an offer to fight on, like, the one of the biggest shows, amateur shows, in Vegas called Tough Enough. And it's, like, the amateur show to fight on. If you're an amateur MMA fighter, you want some of your fights to be in Tough Enough.
So you want your fights to be this, so people can see you and you start moving your way up the ladder? Yeah. Is that how it works?
Yes.
So let me ask you, when you finally did get paid, like, my first match that I got paid for, I got $30. It was a 20 and a 10, and it was an envelope that had my name spelled wrong. I remember that. When you finally got paid, would you get for your first, like, fight that you actually got paid, do you remember how much it was?
Yeah, I think, so I had it lucky. I had it great, because Invicta had just happened, and that's who I made my pro debut for. And it's like, at the time, it was before UFC, they were like the UFC.
Okay, so they had some money.
And so when I went there, it was like a huge deal that my first pro fight was with them, and I think I made like $3,000 when
Wow, not bad.
And I was like, I'm the richest person.
You're rich, yes.
Like unheard of money.
Yeah, I'm like, for a first fight, I thought I was a millionaire.
I'm going to Trader Joe's, and it's not going to matter.
I'm
going to get all of it.
All the snacks.
When did you get paid your first time, you remember?
My first pro fight, I think I got paid around the same.
See, that's good,
too. Same as Jess.
What's you, Shane?
I
$12.
For a while, I was getting my gas and a hotel room.
Okay, but when you finally
When I finally made money, I made $300.
Okay.
But there was a match. Well, there was a match where I was booked. I think it was just like $100. Mm-hmm. But again, the girl backed out, and then people threw money in. And then this is actually a funny story. It was on a reservation. And I'm like half Chinese and half big white bald guy.
No.
And so it's on this reservation, and I end up beating this girl, and I have this money. And this guy, this Native American guy in a trench coat, is like grabbing these $300 bills out of his wallet, and he's like, I gotta support my sisters. You're Native, right? And I was like, yes. And I took the money. So.
You can pass for it.
Yeah, totally. Thought I was.
Yes,
you know?
I am.
So.
Yes,
Native to the Sioux Falls. Yes.
Must have money. So when did you guys first start seeing, like you mentioned, how this woman's movement of MMA, when did you first start seeing the momentum of where it becomes a legit actual sport that has respect and has all this competition?
My first moment was when I started feeling that it was a bigger deal than it was just me.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me was when women at the gym would come up to me and just be like, I just love how strong you look. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would turn into like, you know, older women who are training to like defend themselves. And it turned into them like finding these are they're working out and they're having fun. And it's the older generation I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Like there was a woman that was, I think, late 70s that was hitting the bag at one of the gyms I was training at.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that's a big deal to me. And then if it's hitting older women, if it's hitting that spectrum, and then you look at the rest of them, like, you know, younger girls who are coming up and
right.
killing it at these grappling tournaments. These girls are like 8 years old, beating up other boys, you know?
It's amazing.
That's how many gender walls is that breaking? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. And now the whole body image thing is changing, and I think that has a lot to do with combat sports and women being in it, because we fight in like tight clothing, and you see like there's different types of bodies, and I don't know.
But the culture has shifted as too. It's like what a pretty girl's body
yes.
looks like a muscled, well fit, and good shape.
And
that's
it's
sexy.
More. It's I also it's just it's starting fighting is starting to relate to like a lot more things than just you know fighting.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to really hit like different markets for it and. In the most positive way, you
right.
know, it's just crazy for me. That was in the gym was when I first
you noticed it.
Yeah.
What you, Shane? After doing this for 16 years,
I fought for this company called Bodog Fights.
Bodog, I remember Bodog.
Yeah,
they had some steam for a while.
Yeah, and it was the first time I made actual money. That was my $3,000 mm-hmm. moment. And I remember like it was televised and. There were people back home that would see me in the grocery store. I'm like, yeah, how's it going? And that's when I started realizing, like, this is a thing. This could mm-hmm. have some, you know, something to it. And then I think when I was fighting on Showtime around Gina Carano time,
mm-hmm.
and she just blew up. Now, different than Ronda in that Ronda's character built a division around her. And I'm not saying that she's solely responsible for that, because a lot of that has to do with the promotion also. But, you know, Gina was very much Gina, the Gina spectacle. We want to see Gina fight. Who's the next one to fight Gina? But she did change a lot of the, because she's hot, but she can fight. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She was a stellar kickboxer. And I think around that time is when it really started getting big in my mind, or at least I started realizing that it was a
right.
bigger thing than just, like, we're not fighting in barns anymore. You know?
It seemed like Gina was the first thing. I'm an everyman MMA fan. I'm not, like, a freak, but I know what's going on. But Gina was the first woman I heard a lot about,
mm-hmm.
which led to Ronda being the big woman, too.
Right.
So it seemed like Gina led to Ronda. So there was a couple stars where this was starting to bubble over. Until finally UFC now embraces it, too. Because was UFC, like, the last company to allow the women involved?
Pretty much, I think, especially on, like, a
well, they're the biggest.
Yeah,
big show, right.
Yeah, like, they were pretty much one of the others. Now, a lot of other promotions, they just didn't have women's fights. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was just...
Didn't want to?
There was always this, like, argument of there's no draw. Like there's no incentive mm-hmm. to have a female fight in the car because there's no stars, there's no divisions, there's
that
no belt.
That was the big thing. Everyone argued the divisions weren't,
which is crazy.
The
to me.
Division, the talent pool in the divisions wasn't deep enough, and that's where Invicta came in, built weight
divisions.
Classes and built divisions,
made them mean something, gave them value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gave the fighters somewhere to like hone their craft. Finally, women could get regular fights. And perform in front of a consistent audience and build fan bases even.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were great female fighters in Shayna's generation that people never heard of. Mm-hmm. And still will
Epic
never...
Epic matches.
Because
yeah,
they used to get the spotlight.
Right.
You know what was crazy
no
about
was
the
watching.
Weight classes? Marina, you said it's crazy to you about the weight classes or something
oh, no,
like
no.
this?
No. It was just...
the talent.
Yeah, the talent that, like... You know, these promoters would say things like, there isn't a draw. There isn't, like, anything special. And it's like, they went out of their way to promote some of the guys on
mm-hmm.
the card, which made no sense. Like, promote it just a little bit to see what kind of reaction you get. Promote
it wasn't even given a chance.
Give
most
even,
of the time.
Like, a little bit of a push. you know, and see what these girls can bring to the table. Like, there was no optimism. There was no, there was just none of that.
No one wanted to risk the money.
Yeah. Mm.
Isn't it amazing, though, when this happens?
That's why women had to use, they had to flaunt their shit to, like, get attention.
Well, because that's part of society, right?
Yeah.
The sex part of it, which then opens the eyes, like, this is a real...
Yes.
Because it's always like that with anything new that starts, whether it's, you know, music or movies, or until it becomes the cool thing, everybody will tell you why it's not going to work until suddenly it starts to work, and then all those same people will go, I told you it was going to work, mm-hmm. and then everyone's jumping aboard.
We were talking about this years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I was just waiting for this to happen.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen, and suddenly it happens.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How did you get hooked up with Rhonda and start deciding to call yourselves the Four Horsemen?
So I've known Rhonda the longest. I've known her since I was 13. We used to do judo together.
Are you guys about the same age, or is she older?
She's 1 year older than
me.
Okay,
gotcha.
And we were on multiple teams together. We traveled a lot together. Anytime we went to the same tournament, we would always meet up and, like, stay with each other.
Is she from, like, upstate New York as well?
No. She's from California, but she was training in Boston.
Okay, gotcha.
And she had trained at my old judo school up in New York for a little bit, but, you know, it was flip phone era. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I
texting,
had, like, a
ABC,
yeah, like, I had, like, a candy
DF.
Phone. She had, like, a little flip Nokia. And we, you know, we just bonded over the bullshit of judo and, we've just been tight ever since, I think. Yeah.
How'd you accept these two?
So after Tough, first Jess came around, and then we finally, together, Jess and I and Rhonda convinced Shayna to come out.
No, they convinced me to come out for 2 weeks, and then I just missed my flight.
Yeah.
To come out to train?
That's for real how it happened.
No, just to come out and hang out.
Well, because I broke my ankle, so I had to miss the finale. And so she was fighting on the finale.
Yes.
And
of Tough, right.
She had a fight coming up at the same, like, the day before that. So everyone was in a fight camp. So I wasn't going to be able, because of my ankle injury, I wasn't going to be able to be in fight shape by the time the finale came. So I knew I was going to miss it, but I was a good training partner for these guys. So I came out for a couple weeks, and then it snowed back home, and my flight got canceled, and I just never rescheduled it.
She just never went out.
That's what happened. And for a long time, I was paying rent on a place in South Dakota still.
So you were stuck in Boston, and you couldn't go home because the flight home got canceled.
I was stuck here in California. These guys were already out here.
Gotcha.
And so I just stayed out here. Yeah.
So the Four Horsewoman,
right.
Obviously.
So this is what happened is by proxy.
And this all happened in the living room.
So, like, Rhonda is a heel, I guess, in MMA, if you're putting heels and faces on things, which there is because they're the same. But that's a whole other tangent.
Showbiz is part of it. Yeah.
But by proxy, we all are heels just by association. So one day a fan,
which means is we get a lot of hate.
One day a fan had tweeted me a picture of the original Four Horsemen, the original, like, Ole and Arn and Tully
and Flair,
it was this picture, and they were like, you guys should recreate this picture and call yourselves the Four Horsewomen. And we kind of, like, tongue-in-cheeked it, because in that picture they all have belts, you know, at the time and everything. And
I was just an amateur, like, about to turn pro. Like, I had no, like, you know.
Really, only for this one fan. We took this
picture.
We're,
like, sitting in the living room, and we get this on Twitter,
like,
and we're
Rhonda's
like,
UFC belt. And, like,
I'm holding a machete.
Yeah, she has a machete for no reason. Like, just
it's
to
a
look.
Machete.
Yeah,
why don't you have
exactly.
One?
I have,
exactly.
I think I have the only medal
one of Rhonda's Olympic medals. Like, just because we didn't have four belts, right? Because, like, all of my, like, whatever. So we take this picture, and it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but then we show up at this, at an appearance together, and the whole crowd of people is, like, holding fours up at us, and I go, what, this is a thing?
Yeah.
So we started
people chose
doing
us,
it,
really.
The people gave
us
to you.
Yeah, the people gave us the...
It wasn't like we didn't walk around, you know, like, we are the... baddest team in all of the, like,
you guys
it just
four,
happened.
Four friends that have a cool
and
nickname.
And we're like, yes. You know what? It's fitting because we're bad guys.
We're heels.
Yeah. So.
Did you guys ever like get like go to the club, the four of you, and hang out? Did people ever bug you? Like, do you ever get hit on, or do guys bug you, or do you have to anyone try and challenge you or other chicks or anything like that?
Well, Jess is the one that like always attracts the crowd.
The blonde.
She's so tall.
Yeah.
No,
tall.
She's so tall.
And tall, yeah. So sometimes it's like a beak, like especially if we go to a fight event or something, like we call it the vortex that we get sucked into sometimes. Like they form a circle around you and like it's just pictures after pictures and like people, and we can't get to our seats and we can't get to the bathroom and like, and you, but you're just stuck in the vortex. Like it can get out of hand. But I think it happens the most at fight events and stuff. In normal life.
Fight events and wrestling events.
Yeah, in wrestling events.
Where people know you.
Right.
Yeah.
But in normal life, I think we're, you know.
But just an average drunk, like if you just go out to some, like, not exactly the right girls to be messing with.
I think for girls it's different. We don't get challenged as much. I get guys still to this day that are like, oh, man, I can show you. Some stuff. Like, you know, I train with like one of the best heavyweights in the world.
Yeah. Or they're
like,
the
classic. Yeah, they're always like, you think you can get this on me? You think you can do it? Do you think you can get it on me? Do you think you're, like, for example, John. This one guy was like, I wonder how many times you can tap me out in a minute. And I was like, all right, well, what are the rules? Like, every time I tap you out, you stop. Like, as soon as you tap, we pause
stop
it.
Stop the watch.
Yeah, we stop the watch. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, how many times do you think you can tap me out? I was like 6 or 7 if we're going to stop.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? And, like, he sat back and was legit just, like, bewildered.
This turned into a real thing. You guys are going to do it.
Yeah, like, now, like, he's just like, oh, shit, like, damn. And then he asked them, he's like, really, come on, you guys. Really think that she could do it, like, 6 or 7 times?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Stopping the clock?
You have to think about this, though. We are in the gym with not just average males that are bigger than us, but, like, well-trained, high-level fighter males that we're training with. And, like, we catch them, we beat them, like, not all the time.
No,
but you know what I mean?
You know
like,
what
we
you're
know,
doing.
Yes, we know we have our, like, we know what our skills are and where we're at. And you want to take an average dude. I'm like, no, yeah, she will definitely get that on you. Like, I have no doubt.
This is
like,
the thing
we do
is,
it.
That blows my mind about it is no one would argue that.
The NBA player would smoke you in a.
No, not even that route. But that the smaller, like, a 145 badass could hold his own against a 185er. Guys.
Nobody would argue about
that. Would argue about that. They'd be like, oh, yeah, for sure, technique,
them.
Yeah. Or even in the scope of their mind, like, I don't know, like, Kalisto could beat Rusev. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people watch this and they think it, but when all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm smaller and weaker, but also a girl, they're like, oh, no way.
Right.
And then now they don't even put it in a skilled sense. They're like, an average guy that's bigger.
But that's
like
just the sexist that some guys have. Like, for me, I wouldn't, like, if I saw you guys and there was, like, I wouldn't fight any of you guys because, you know, I swing a punch and you grab my arm and you use my leverage against me or whatever. You know what you're doing. Like, you said that you practice this every day.
Yeah.
And so I always get, because guys will say that, not as much now, but back years ago, whatever, oh, wrestling, it's all fake. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea. I will knock you out in 2 seconds just because I can take 12 of your punches.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just because that's what we do. But people don't think that. I'm sure you guys get stuff like that, or you used to. We're like, oh, isn't that cute, little sweet little girl, knows some shoot holds. And you're like, all right, motherfucker. You only knew, right?
Yeah.
You know? That's just kind of the world we live in, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But it's you're always going to get it. You also get, though, I get this a lot, too, is I bet you could kick my ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the guys that always want to, which I think is the complete wrong approach.
I better not piss you off.
Is that the wrong approach?
Yeah, it's the complete wrong approach. Like, please don't, please, that's not, I mean, I understand you're trying to be flattering, but it's like.
Yeah,
that is not a way to start a conversation.
No.
You're like, putting that out there.
This is bad pickup lines.
Yes. Yeah. This is just out to everyone. Like, we really, there's got to be a better one than I better not piss you off, or I bet you could kick my ass. Because
what's the worst, is there the worst pickup line you guys have ever heard? You got one, you're like, oh my god, give me a break on that.
We get a few like creepy guys that are like, would you ever like come over and kick me in the nuts? Like, I don't know, man. I got.
Yeah, no. That's not gonna.
I work in a coffee shop.
Oh yeah, you got some good ones.
Oh there. Yeah, I work in a coffee shop. Like that's my side thing. That's right. What I do.
What's the official? A barista?
I'm a barista. That's yes.
A barista. I like that name. Barista. Sounds
you know,
like
we
a Mexican
have to,
luchador.
Yeah, we have to wear like normal. You know, normal attire.
Right.
But like. It fits, like, you can see, like, my traps, and you can see, like,
yeah.
My arms.
You guys
my
are all well-muscled,
like,
yeah.
We fight for our posture in training, so, like, posture is a big thing, you know? Like, I don't think very, like, I don't know, like, our posture is just different compared to mm-hmm. women who don't train at all.
I know what you're saying. I can see that. Yeah.
So, like, carry yourself.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. We carry ourselves, like, I'm upright always, you know? And, like, also training in a gi, the thing is, like, 30 pounds wet, so, like, so
really?
People, yeah,
oh,
after
I didn't
a day
know that.
Of training, if you hang that...
Wow,
it retains a lot of water.
Right.
Yeah, I've had guys that just kind of like, as they're paying for their coffee, they're just like, you look like you do something. And I'm like, no, man, I just make coffee. And they're like, no, you're lying to me. I know you're lying to me. You do something. I don't know what it is, but you do something. I'm just like,
okay.
Like, that is like the creepiest inquiry that you're ever going to get. Right. I'm like, well, I think you do something. Yeah. I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to say to that?
Yeah. So when someone comes up to you and goes, are you who I think you are?
Yeah.
I'm like,
I don't know who you think I am.
Actually, I've been a real douchebag sometimes. And like, I'll be one time I was in a grocery store with Jess and like a lady came over. Clearly on her way to talk to us, and we're like, oh, yeah, she definitely knows. She's going to want a picture for sure. And she just asked Jess to reach something up high for her.
Yeah,
she was
tall.
And I was like, wow, I was a real doucher. Like, I really thought she knew
Both
us.
Of us were like, wow, we really did think. Because she was like, excuse me.
Could I ask you something? And we're like, yes, we are who you think we are.
Want a picture?
It is us.
And it's, again, like, I'm tall, so grab that up there. Like.
I had that a couple weeks ago. I was in a restaurant, and the lady came and said, can you sign this for me? I'm like, sure. And I realized it was the check. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, sure.
Just get out of your way here.
So do you guys still get a chance to hang out with Rhonda?
Yeah.
We must be pretty happy for her with her success.
Yeah.
She's become the it girl in Hollywood.
Well, I still live with her.
Oh, okay.
And I train with these guys on a regular basis.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that's
so,
cool.
Like, we're very, like...
We're all super tight.
Yeah, and we do. We hang out a lot. We do a lot together, whether it's training or just hanging out at each other's houses or whatever, but still super tight. And yes, Rhonda is, you know... She's done a lot. I think earlier, like we were talking about, some of the big moments of change and stuff that I saw, because I'm, like I said, a little bit maybe later than when Shayna first started doing it, is Gina was huge, and you cannot take away what she did, but, like, I don't think you can deny that Rhonda's explosion was bigger.
Cultural phenomenon.
Yes.
Like, when everybody knows somebody's, like my dad knows who she is.
Right.
Not MMA. Oh, yeah, Ronda Rousey. When it gets to that level where you become the new big thing.
She definitely, I think, has helped make it possible for me and others like me to, you know, have a career at this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to make it more mainstream, more popular, more accepted. Like, it's a thing.
More fights available?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That sort of thing?
Women's MMA has gotten, like, such a good push that it's... I don't want to just, like, have this as my statement, but does it need any more momentum?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think. Like, it's going to keep getting momentum, but, like, on its own, just...
It's a thing.
It's a thing now.
Sure,
it
it's
really
an accepted
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, too, the reach of what she's done, like, you were talking about how, like, I train with Natalia and hang out with her a lot, and she was talking about how... the big, like, Divas Revolution or whatever that's
Absolutely.
Happening has a lot to do with the popularity of women in MMA.
Yes.
The writers and stuff are starting to understand that, like, girls can kick ass and it's still hot.
And, yeah, and people
like
love it.
Them.
And people buy into
but,
it.
Yeah, so, and like, so they're changing how
it's
how
okay to be badass as a woman.
And
you don't
also,
have to just be a sex symbol. It's okay to be badass.
You can fight and kick ass,
yes.
too.
And, like, the skill level is going to start being, like, really, like, you know, you got girls who are actually interested in things like pro wrestling, who are very athletic and like very want, like really want to know the technique and stuff. And I think that influence is gonna change what their idea of a diva is or a women's champion or whatever.
Yeah, diva's out the window now.
Exactly.
That name is not used anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, but like, what are they doing to show that?
Well, the thing is, and this specifically...
Like, change the color of the belt? Like, that's...
Well, I think it doesn't change overnight, as you guys know.
Yeah,
it takes some time.
Yeah.
But the original Divas Revolution with the whole... All the girls, our four horsewomen from NXT,
mm-hmm.
do that as a complete show of respect to you guys. coming in all at once as the Divas Revolution, and then they realize after they kind of start getting in the system, this diva thing's got to go, and then suddenly those girls get their own spotlight, and they're cutting the fat of the old school divas and having the girls that actually work, and now suddenly, once again, it's becoming
process.
A thing.
Yeah.
Over the next 6 months or so, it's even more, you know, kind of part of what we do. So I think last week on Raw, the Divas women's segment ended the show.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't happened in years.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's directly because of what you guys did, what Ronda did, and like the U.S. women's soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE sees that because that's now become the in thing.
Yep.
You know, which is great.
It is.
It's specifically because of the work that you guys did. So, have you ever thought about going and doing some? I think you said you've done some pro wrestling.
I've been working for about a year now. I've been actually really lucky to work with some really good top indie girls so far. So what
was the mindset behind that?
Well, I think like it's funny because I've always been a pro wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of say it to these guys that I think I originally started MMA because of my love of pro wrestling, because my character all throughout MMA has been this, like, I would come out with a guitar for no reason, like, I had, you know, and I would...
Shane is all about the promo.
I'm not even talking about,
like, entrances in real life.
So I would cut this promo, you know, they'd be like, okay, the pre-fight interview for the video spot, mm-hmm. you know, like, tell us, how do you see this fight ending? And I'd be like, well, I want to submit her. And Josh Barnett would get in the camera and be like, nope, Shayna. Everyone else on the card is going to say that. Let them say that. Say something no one else will ever say again, you know. Well, actually, I think I'm going to get DQ'd because I'm going to handcuff her to the cage and run her through with my guitar. And they'd play this promo, and it's just ridiculous, but
it makes you stand out.
Yeah, so I had this kind of outlandish character already in MMA. So making the transition to pro wrestling, it's funny because I spent almost my entire career in MMA preaching pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is pro wrestling, and pro wrestling is MMA and the shoot style, and it's all the same, and it came from the same place. And now that I'm wrestling more, my mindset is the same, where I'm like, you guys are forgetting this came from a shoot style.
Yeah.
Let's do this. I'm going to show you. And so I have this, the Queen of Spades wrestler is like this arrogant, like, I'm going to show all you guys what
character.
Pro wrestling really is.
Right,
I come
right.
from MMA, you know.
Yeah, I'm real.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. And as far as thinking about the transition into it, I think it's just a natural progression of what I'm doing. I have 16 years of MMA miles on me, and that's a lot of
miles. It's a long time.
Miles.
Yeah.
And so I'm lucky that in pro wrestling I'm getting to work with really experienced girls, because I can do any move. I can take any bump. It's just the psychology I'm really green at still. So
sure, of course.
You can give
any bump to Jessamine, too.
Actually. Right, yeah. I can do anything to her. But so I think the thinking is, you know, 16 years, the number of fights I have behind me outnumber the fights I have left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just thinking about the next thing. And I have a style of wrestling where I come from this shoot background, so I'm not... you know, doing moonsaults off the top.
That would make you different too, right?
Yeah. And I think it's something that women's wrestling, especially right now, is open for,
mm-hmm.
is this shoot style look. So,
have you guys ever spoken with Stephanie? Did you talk to her when you see her at
mm-hmm.
the Staples Center?
Yeah,
she must love
we did
you guys.
The ice bucket challenge.
Yes,
yeah,
that's it. Every time we're there, she's
did.
Always so great
she's
to us.
Nice
but
lady.
Yeah, she asked us to do the ice bucket thing. Was that SummerSlam?
Maybe 2 years, mm-hmm. maybe last
that
year or something
SummerSlam.
Like this.
Yeah, I think it was SummerSlam we did that one. That was fun, but yeah, she's always just super sweet to us, so good to us, you know.
She invites you guys, because you guys, like I said, are at every
they,
show.
Yeah, they, it's awesome. Like, going to the shows is really a lot of fun for us.
Do you guys, do you have any aspirations of trying wrestling, or you're just fighting and just go from there?
So, for me... I'm still under contract with the UFC. So as far as actually really doing stuff like working like Shayna is, I can't do that yet. But I have still, like, the training wise,
she's helped me.
I have been. I have yes.
Ah, okay.
I have gone to the ringside with Shayna and made sure that everything went as it was supposed to and turned out the way it was supposed to. But I just can't make that jump quite yet myself. But I like keeping a foot in the door because it's fun and I love the training. So it's a it's a good thing, like, after a fight camp to change it up and just for a couple weeks just do stuff with her.
Best lettuce,
yeah, just, you know, it's good for your brain, but I also enjoy it.
How about you, Marina? Are you signed to UFC as well?
No, okay. I'm signed with Invicta.
Okay, Invicta.
I would train for 8 to 12 months before I decided to pro wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Which is smart.
Because I'm not about to pretend to know how to do something and do it.
But it's something
half-assed.
That you'd...
I'm in good company. Mm-hmm. I would never do anything to represent my group with any less quality. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I feel like Josh puts more pressure on me about pro wrestling than he ever did about my fighting.
Does he train you or?
Him, I train with Chavo and then.
Oh, you train with Chavo?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Good friends.
Some of the group that I'm with, I train with Roderick Strong and, mm-hmm. and Natty and Nigel McGuinness. Those are like
okay.
my crew. But Josh, being my head coach for like 12 years or something, he takes pro wrestling very serious, coming from our lineage of just catch wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's crazy. Don't you think that he's way more on my case about wrestling training and diet and whatnot than even my fighting? Because I think I'm the first of his students to like carry the catch wrestling flag into the work world now.
Mm-hmm. And also it's because you're super excited to do it.
Your
enthusiasm to do it is like,
I love
you know,
and he knows.
Fighting training is you fight to pretty much the point you're broken down. Like, you break yourself down almost every day. So it's kind of hard to get excited about shit like that. You're like, okay, who can make me cry today?
Yeah.
Awesome. Let's get this
no,
done.
I think I just, for 16 years, I did that. And
yeah,
then
and that's
this
fucking
is the
exhausting.
Thing that I noticed, and it's like, I call it reverse CM Punk syndrome. Because I'm a little bit jaded about the MMA culture.
Right.
Because I worked for 16 years as a fighter, and I did all this stuff before it was cool, and I was in the top 10 for however many years, and then I lose a fight in the UFC, and like I'm complete shit, and I'm overrated, and
I
did all
gotcha.
This stuff, and all this stuff, and I'm like, man. And so when I lost my fight in the UFC, I took another fight, and it was hard for me to be excited because I felt like, and this is all in retrospect, of course, but I felt like, man, it doesn't matter how long you go. In MMA, you leave hated. Like, this is the way my mind was at the time. It was like, you leave hated. It doesn't matter what you do. Anderson Silva, Connor, Ronda, GSP, all these guys leave hated. They put all this time in. And
they leave hated by the fans? Or they
the fans. And it's a lot of the casual fans, which are the loud ones.
But isn't that always the way if someone, they're waiting for someone to get knocked off the pedestal, and then when they do, it's like, see, I told you.
I think that's the culture of it. But I think what I've found in wrestling is that it's almost the opposite for me at this point in time, right? They can spend 20 years hating you, and then when you leave, they respect what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that MMA is new, of course, a lot newer than pro wrestling, of course, at least in the U.S. It's not there yet where fans are knowledgeable about the history of the sport and things like that, where a lot of pro wrestling fans know
well,
the history
of it. You
go back
to the 60s and 50s and all that sort of
thing,
right?
So I think I don't know. I think that my excitement comes from this place where it's like, it's going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's worth it when I go out there now. I'm this arrogant prick and the crowd is booing, but then afterwards they're chanting, please come back.
Yeah.
It's like the coolest thing ever.
The fans don't, like, in pro wrestling, they never, like, hold, like, face value. They want to follow. They want to see what's behind. Like, they want to know. They want to get to know you as your character and what you're good at, and, like, they're patient with you. They're the fans who want to understand, you know, like, if they want to like you or if they want to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still interested.
But they're appreciating
you. Yeah, they're still interested in, like, one of those emotions.
It's so funny, like, whatever side of the coin you're on, because, like, for me, like, wrestling fans are stupid sometimes.
Yeah.
These guys are idiots. But that's just, you know, like you said, whatever side you're on.
Yeah, but you guys have, like, that. There's so much longevity in being a fan in pro wrestling. Whereas in MMA...
Well, I think because he's coming from the other side.
Yeah, yeah, like, in MMA, it's just kind of... very, like, face value.
I had lunch with Punk, and just hearing him talk about wrestling the way, you know, and he's all excited about MMA training and stuff, and I was like, man, it's crazy, right? We're saying the same exact thing.
It's funny, I had the same conversation with Billy Corgan, that, you know, I got in out of wrestling to go into music, he got out of music to go work for TNA, and that's the reverse Billy Corgan.
That's awesome.
A couple more questions. You guys ever go to PWG? I think I've seen that.
We just went
religiously.
Last Friday.
Yeah. And I hear, like, I haven't been, but I've talked to a few people that say it's just, like, one of the greatest.
Yeah, you should totally make time to go sometime.
Like,
it's worth it.
Explain the vibe of it. It's a small building.
It's like 200 people, right?
Yeah.
The Legion Hall
it's
in Reseda.
230 people.
Yeah.
230 people.
That's it.
Yes.
Tickets sell out in like two minutes.
There's no air conditioning. There is no air conditioning.
They sell beer and pitchers only.
Yes. It's like the floor is wet by halftime, you know.
And you sit this close to the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, you sit to where you can, you're in the front row, you can touch
form
it.
Of, it. It's like where all the wrestlers are allowed to be their truest form of who they want to be in wrestling.
Mm.
And they have full creative
They don't control. Give any limits, yeah.
They have no limits on, like, what they're able to do. And
they just bring in great wrestlers, and they put on great matches.
PWG is, like, an all-star show of indie wrestlers. So, like, there's guys...
But isn't the crowd, like, kind of getting to be all-star, too? Like, there's the people that go there, like, a lot of celebrities go there.
They're the best crowd ever.
Yeah, a very hardcore crowd. I'm like... It's always like a weird family reunion when you go. Like, you see all the same people that you know, and everyone
kind of sits in the same seat.
Yep. Oh, yeah, right.
They have their place.
That's, my seat.
Yeah.
Yes, they have their places, and like it's a whole experience.
It's
really
like
is.
Church.
Yeah,
it's like, because like when someone, you're like, is this your first time? Oh, that's, have you ever been to any other wrestling shows? They're like, yeah, I went to a W. Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, they laughed at me because we had just gone to SummerSlam, my very first PWG, and they were like, have you gone to a wrestling event before? I was like, oh, I just went to SummerSlam, and they were like, oh, this is not like that.
Oh.
and
poo-poo.
Yeah. And I was like, holy, and then it's intense. It's just, it's like I said, it's so tight.
It's just very personal because it's so small and you're so close.
The wrestlers interact with the crowd at like nowhere else, and the crowd is definitely part of the show.
Is it like a monthly thing or?
Every 6 weeks or so.
Yes.
Yeah, it happens, sometimes they have like a little cluster of shows, and then sometimes it's like every month or two, and that's kind of like another charm about it, is because when there's a good, I feel like when there's like good solid storylines, they'll cluster it, and then when they need some air, they give it some air.
Okay.
And let it f-ing happen by itself.
Right.
And then they'll set it up again. It's like PWG in moderation that's just how it is.
I will say this to anybody that hears this. If you ever have a chance to go to PWG, don't make it a thing like, oh, I know I've heard it's great, but I have to work. Like, I would change the date of my wedding to go to a PWG. And I've been before.
Here's the deal. Next time there's a show, I'll text you guys. And if you go, you got to take me with you.
Okay. Yeah, but you got to stay for the whole thing. You can't just stay for the opening act.
I'll stay for the whole thing.
Because everybody who goes always ends up staying for, like, up until intermission. And then they have to leave.
I'm not like that.
They can't handle it.
If anything, I would get there late and see the main event.
Yeah.
It does get better as it goes on.
I'll go with you guys and be the honorary fourth horsewoman.
All right. Yeah. Sounds perfect. All right. Yes.
Okay, last question. What is your favorite fight that you've ever had, if you had to pick one?
Of our own?
Yeah, of your own. Yeah.
I know mine.
What's yours?
So when I was on The Ultimate Fighter, I got Fight of the Season, and I fought Raquel Pennington. And the fights on the show they're technically exhibition fights, mm-hmm. so they don't count on your record. And what that means is they start out only being two rounds, but if it goes 1-1, you have to go a third round.
Ah, tiebreaker.
Right, and so whoever wins that round wins the fight. And she and I, we had this epic, epic fight just beat the shit out of each other.
And
the pace was ridiculous.
Great fight.
And it was really hard to tell, especially being in it. It was so hard to tell. Like, I had no idea if I was winning.
Right.
But it was like, I'm doing so good. Like, I knew things were happening, mm-hmm. you know? And we go 1-1 on the rounds and had to go a third round. And, like, on the show, it's also weird when it's being filmed, because we're in the UFC gym for this fight, and they're filming, and there's maybe, with the crew and everyone included, like, 25 people in this room, mm-hmm. you know? And you could barely hear. Like, it was so loud and so crazy. And, like, I just remember the intensity was insane. And, like, it was the most fun I've ever had in a fight. And I thought for sure I had it in the end, because I cut her in, like, the last 30 seconds. Had her on the run. Had her bleeding everywhere. So I was like, that's it. Like, it was it. And I lost decision. We still got Fight of the Season, though, which is a huge deal. Big, fat bonus at the end of the season. Yeah, it's like a little accolade I can put on my thing that I got. So I was pretty proud of that, but even just in the fight, so much fun. Ridiculous amount of fun.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh. Right, I was fighting this chick, her last name was Patterson, and I was that was like my first training camp when these girls moved here. It was one of my amateur fights. And I landed a head and arm choke standing, and I threw her like slid her all the way down the cage.
Ooh.
Ended up breaking one of her ribs.
Aye.
But I was hitting that head and arm choke, like, every day.
It's a shoot style rock bottom.
Yeah, kind of, actually, yeah.
Yes. And I like, literally slammed her as I threw her. And it was... I was more pumped because it was something that I was just like... She hit me a couple times in the face while I was going for it. And my setup on it... I was really proud of myself because it was something I was training. It was like... I decided to stick with it, and it ended up winning my fight.
That was the first.
That was like my first like real feeling of like accomplishment in the sport.
Yeah,
you know, like yeah, you win fights, but like you know, it becomes a big step.
To do it deliberately rather than oh, thank God I did.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, I was just kind of like, yes, this is awesome.
Shayna,
I think mine is my fight when I main evented the second Invicta and I fought Sarah McMahon. Sarah McMahon was tearing through everyone at the time, and I had been out for maybe like 18 months, just contract complications and stuff. And I was really getting looked over, I think, just because she was so hot. And I ended up losing like a really controversial split decision, but it's the fight where I think I got to show my ground stuff, my stand up. I was just on. I felt really on. It was the best I've felt. I
had an Olympic silver medalist on her back.
Yeah.
It just goes to show, once again, same in wrestling. I mean, obviously you want to win, especially in our sport. It's much less important, but all that matters is having a great fight.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a great fight, you're always going to get more fights.
Yep.
And get a better reputation. So you guys are awesome.
This is awesome.
So PWG, next one, I'm coming.
It's happening.
As the honorary fourth. For her
all right,
yay.
We ain't pansies. We sit front row.
Front row. Yeah, you better be ready to dive out of the way.
Pitch your beer for each of us.
Yes. Yep.
I'm from Canada. I can drink a lot. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, we got two hands.
So. Thanks again to the Four Horsewomen minus one, Marina Schaefer, Shayna Baszler, and Jessamyn Duke. I'm going to work it out to go to a PWG event with them next time in LA. And there's a show. I want to see it. I might have to wear a lucha mask and sit in the front row, but I will be there. I'll have great protection too. Those three ladies will beat your ass. Trust me, they will. Great, great, great to have them on the show. And let me say thanks to them and thanks to the original sponsor here on Talk is Jericho. I'm talking about Amazon. They've been supporting Talk is Jericho since day number one. And thanks to all you people for helping me out by doing all your online shopping by using my Amazon links. You can find them links at podcast1.com. Click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. I got Amazon links for the USA, UK, Canada, A. Every time you use the Talk is Jericho Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a small percentage to the show to help us cover production costs. You buy just about anything you can think of on Amazon. Use them links. No extra fees. No hidden charges. Go buy something. Take a picture of it. Post it on the Twitter at Talk is Jericho. Become a Jericho Amazon warrior. I will retweet it and I will follow you as well. And don't forget, all my other sponsors are also there, including ddpyoga.com/Jericho. You get 5, 10, 15, 20% off the DDP Yoga program, plus 3 months full access to the DDP Yoga Now app. There's also DraftKings. Use my promo code Y2J to play for free with no deposit this weekend. There's also SimpliSafe. Go to simplysafejericho.com. Get free shipping and a free keychain remote valued at $25. All right, big thanks for checking out the Jericho Network at Podcast One as well. We're doing our best to keep you entertained. We got Keeping It 100 with Conan and his cast of characters on Thursday. Another great show this week with an in-depth interview with Jeff Hardy, Broken Jeff Hardy, Brother Nero. Also, Vader, Big Vader returns. Big Van Vader is there. Shane Helms shows up. Of course, you always got Disco Inferno, KG, Conan, Juventud Guerrera, completely insane. Lots of great stuff on there. Go check it out. A great group of guys putting on a very entertaining show. Speaking of entertaining, Team Tiger Awesome releasing hilarious episodes every Sunday. You had the creator wrestler episode with special guest Chris Jericho a few weeks ago where we created our new wrestlers. This week they are doing audio retractions. These are retractions. These are mistakes we made. You can check that out. It's very, very funny stuff. Got to check out Team Tiger Awesome. My third podcast on the Jericho Network will be announced very, very soon. Just waiting for the right moment. Tito to do it. It's coming up very, very soon, man. It's going to be a blast. So subscribe to the Jericho Network of podcasts at iTunes. Leave everyone 5-star ratings and reviews. You won't be disappointed. We are here to entertain you. Speaking of entertaining, only 158 days left until Mick Foley joins Talk is Jericho on the biggest podcast ever. March 15th, 2017, Mick will be here. Count it down. So thank you for listening. I know you'll be listening then. I know you'll be listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And I know you'll be listening for next week, next Wednesday, the return of Don Callis. Talk is Jericho. You heard him last year around this time for the Jericho 25th anniversary show. Don Callis, Lance Storm, Lenny St. Clair, hilarious guys. Lenny and Lance have been on this show by themselves before. Don Callis never has. He spent years as Cyrus in ECW, as the Jackal in WWE, and years on the Canadian independent scene. One of my longest and oldest friends in this business. I've known him since 1990. That we'll be on Talk is Jericho. We're gonna have a lot of laughs, a lot of introspection. Don is one of the smartest people I've met. He's one of the best wrestling analysts. He has got a great wrestling mind. He's gonna blow your socks off, man. If you liked Don Callis last year because you thought he was hilarious, he is. You're gonna hear the intellectual side of Don Callis as well. He will be here on Wednesday. We'll see you then. Stay hard, stay cool, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy. Have a good weekend.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.